Is forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor toward him, his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained a promise. For men verily swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife. Wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So verses 4 through 8 tell of a people who were made aware of salvation. They tasted that heavenly gift of salvation. They received the Holy Ghost. They even tasted the good word of God. I just really love to read the word of God. And they tasted that. They knew that. But if they fall away, they become as thorns and briars. Verse 8, it says, the end is to be burned. So, you know, that is hell and it's eternal. And so we don't want to stop there, though. I don't want to focus on that this morning. Because the writer of Hebrews was confident of better things. He saw a people who chose salvation in Jesus. The people who were laboring and working in love. They were doing God's will. We are called to show the same diligence to full assurance of hope to the end. This assurance will last a lifetime and after. God does not want us to become lazy. It says in verse 12, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith, patience, inherit promises. But he wants us to be imitators of them who through a life of faith and with patience, inherit the promise. There was a father who had two sons that talks about in the Bible, and he came to the first and said, go work in my vineyard. And he said, I go. And he went not. And then he came to the second and said, go work in my vineyard. And he said, I will not, but later repented and went. And it says, whether of the twain, sorry, I think it was the first one that said he would not and he went. It says, whether of the twain did the will of his father, they said unto him, the first. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that many publicans and harlots shall go into the kingdom before you. So Jesus talking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders there. But he said that a lot of people were actually going to go into the kingdom before them. We see that God's promise a blessing came true for Abraham. So whenever we see a promise in the Bible, we can always know that it's going to come true. It's promised blessing. there will be a blessing. If it's a promise of judgment for wrong, it will happen. There will be judgment. We see that Abraham obtained that promise because he patiently endured. And we see that God likes to promise his children blessing, so that way, not just for our good, but so that way he can show himself strong and faithful in that. God wants to, verse 17, we see God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability, the unchangeableness of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. God wants to show his faithfulness, instruction, and reward to his heirs. God in his sovereignty reached down his power down to us to show us, if we want to experience God's hand working, his counsel in our lives, we need to become heirs. In Hebrews 11, verse 9, it says, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in promise. And if we follow a life of faith, it says that we're as children of Abraham. How can we become those heirs? In Abraham's life, it was by following God's direct voice as he told him to go, and he went. And in our lives, it's also following God's voice. And the instruction is in Acts 16, verse 31. The question was asked, verse 30, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. That's how we can enter into that promise today. God's counsel is sure and unchangeable. Verse that says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever, always. Romans 11:29 says, for the gifts of and calling of God are without repentance. So God doesn't hold back from that. He doesn't repent from giving us the gifts. He wants to show more abundantly to us his unchangeable instruction, calling, and gift of salvation. So whatever he showed us in the past, I believe he wants to show us even more as we follow him. Verse 18, that by two unchangeable things, immutable things, it was impossible for God to lie. So it's hard to believe that it would be impossible to lie in our lives. It's so easy to, when we get in a tight spot, maybe try to tell an untruth, and that is wrong. But God, it's impossible for him to lie. Because Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? So God's promises are always made good. For us as Christians, this is a strong, very strong comfort and surety in our lives. Because we have left hoping in the world and putting our confidence in the things of the world, and we have fled to Jesus for refuge and strength. We've got refuge in the Lord, and in the name of the Lord. In Proverbs 18:10, it says, "Name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe." Safe place that we can go always. Colossians 1, verse 5 says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." Have we grasped the hope set before us? We have hope in heaven. Question is, why leave behind the past and reach for the hope set before me? Because we often have things that we need to leave. And will we leave those things, or will we hang on to those things? Verse 19 is probably one of my favorite verses. "Which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters into that within the veil." Having this hope set before us, what does it do? It's active. It's active in our lives. It's changing our lives. But it's also still in that it's an anchor, and it's always there. It's always dependable and always the same. Kind of like when you find a good fishing spot and you're just blowing around. It's really annoying because you really wanted to stay in the spot where the fish are biting. But if you have an anchor, you can stay at the right spot. Keeps us from being tossed around. Question is, what do we have our hope set on? If we have our hope set on the things of the world, those things fade away. Those things, we can lose those things. But there is nothing more sure in life than Jesus. Because if we have our hope set on Him, that won't change. Do we have the hope, faith, and love that it speaks of in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13? "Now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." We see that hope as an anchor, and it enters into that within the veil. I think oftentimes in the Old Testament, God was really close to the people, but yet He was still behind the veil. And Jesus entered there for us. Now the veil is torn. Now we can experience a life, a relationship with God. In Leviticus 16, verses 2 and 15, says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Speak unto Aaron thy brother, and that he come not at all times into the holy place within the veil, before the mercy seat, which is upon the ark, that he die not, for I will appear in a cloud upon the mercy seat." And then in verse 15 says, "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat." I believe Jesus' blood, in a way, is on the mercy seat for us, so that we have access through Him. If we have our soul anchored in Jesus, it's the only thing that is sure and steadfast all through life. We see in verse 20, "Whither the forerunner is for us entered." Jesus went before us and he's a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, and he can go, he is before the Father, obviously, but he could go before the Father always, whereas in the Old Testament, the high priest, I think it was once a year that he could go. But obviously, Jesus is there interceding for us all the time. Jesus entered for us somewhere we could not go. He went for us when he died on the cross. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57 says, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we don't have to fear because Jesus entered. There's often fear in death. It's because of sin, because of not being right with God. But we don't have to fear that because God has given us the victory through Jesus dying on the cross and his redemption. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is reason to hold on to hope as an anchor, because we can come boldly before the throne of grace. This is reason to hold on to the faith we profess. So, as we profess Jesus before people, this is reason to hold on to that profession. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1, says, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. When we consider Jesus, he is humble, lowly, holy, kind, and long-suffering. We see that Jesus is called of God in Hebrews 5, verses 8 through 10. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He learned obedience through the things he suffered for us. And that's our high priest. And he's able to be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Because he walked on the earth and he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. So we look back over this chapter, we see 4 through 8 of people that we don't want to be, we don't want to turn away. And then verse 9, that's the people we want to be. People that accompanying things of salvation through Jesus. And then verses 11 through 16, we see, learn about promise that Abraham received. And we know that that was fulfilled and we can look back in the Bible and see that he obviously couldn't. He had to look forward by faith. And then in verse 17, we see that God's willingness to show to us the unchangeableness of his counsel, of his ways. And then in verse 19, we see an anchor, and that promise becomes an anchor as we hang on to it and as we walk close to God. And then in verse 20, we see Jesus, the high priest, going in behind the veil, going where we can't go, and interceding for us. So that's what I had to share this morning, and hopefully that can be a blessing.